Hello. That was a nice confident hello. No cough or dry throat there for once, so that's a good start. Welcome to Mood Swings. This is the second part of my podcast with Stephen Meikle and Pete Scott. Hopefully you've heard part one. If not, I'd advise going back to listen to it. But, I mean, if you've downloaded this before leaving the house whilst you've got Wi-Fi, and you're like, oh, now I've downloaded this and this is what I've got to listen to on the walk to work and I've got anything else to listen to, don't worry, don't turn it off and or use up your precious 4G download part one just now. Part two will be fine on its own, and part one's always there for you when you need to. Some people have seen Star Wars, I think, so you'll manage with this podcast, I'm sure. Yeah, in the second part, I think we talk more about Scottish Muay Thai changing and British Muay Thai changing. And then we talk kind of more about Steve's experiences in Thailand. And then about sort of the benefits of training Muay Thai, or training in general, really. We're the three of us are people at Muay Thai because we're all trained Muay Thai, and Pete and Stevie have fought Muay Thai a lot. But, I mean, as I think it's picked up in this, it's whatever works for you. So we talk about the benefits of training, the benefits of having that focus, and what that can do for mental health. So if you're one of these people that really listens to this podcast because of the mental health side of things, and you've turned this one on and thought, oh no, it's one of the ones with fighters, there's loads in this one about mental health, and especially in the second part, and about the benefits of training to do that. So stick in and have a listen. You might find something there for you. And I think the intro to part one was quite long, so I'll keep this one quite short. I really enjoyed recording this podcast. It was a good time. It was quite a late night one. Much like the first Pete Scott one, Pete obviously has a young son who he doesn't stay up late, can't really start recording until he's gone to his bed, so it delayed things a little bit longer. So there was a few more beers drank before the start of this one, and we talked for a good hour and a half, hour and three quarters, so you've got plenty of podcast, and maybe the end of it is a little bit boozy, but I don't think this one descended into chaos, unlike this intro, which I just said was a way to cut off and then started rambling again. Alright, I'll be back at the end. Cheers. Easy on the team. What about in terms of how the gyms operated and stuff? In terms of how they operate now, in terms of the training, was it like a lot less clinch and a lot more like kickboxing and the way the fights sort of panned out?
Oh, you mean in the actual training for the fights?
Yeah, and just in how fights were fought compared to what traditional Muay Thai would be.
Yeah, I mean a lot less clinch back 10-15 years ago than it is now. Clinch was something that was a sort of add-on that was done for maybe 5 minutes at the end of a session, you know. Even some gyms up until 5 years ago were doing the same thing, and there is still some gyms now who will still see it as an add-on, as something they might do if you have time at the end of a class. Whereas what it should be is part of your training. It should be a crucial part of it, because it can just change a fight. And if you get somebody who's a good clincher, it doesn't matter how good the boxing guy is, if you get somebody who's a good clincher, they nullify that clinch, they sort of nullify that boxing, they can just dominate that fight.
Yeah.
Before, it was just seen as something you had a little bit of knowledge of. Oh, okay, I need to try and pull the guy's neck and pull his neck down and try and knee him in the face. There wasn't really much knowledge about how to sweep, how to trip, how to manhandle the person. Even the simple case of that when you're in the clinch, you don't really want to use your shoulder strength, because your shoulders will fail before your forearms fail. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the clinch, you want to be using your forearms like a sort of steering wheel to turn the person. All that sort of stuff is something that's been introduced in the sort of the past 5-10 years. Sure.
What do you think about it's just a little add-on question for more amusement, but I think I like promotions that are a bit more mainstream within Muay Thai, maybe like, I suppose Yoko would be an example. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not everyone's favourite cup of tea, but how do you feel, because I think they are like popularising, making the sport more popularised. Keeps trying to say popularised, I don't think it's a word. Making the sport like more mainstream.
Too much apple teeny, isn't it?
I know, that's too much apple teeny. You've been putting too much teeny in my apple teeny. And like kind of using social media and stuff to bring Muay Thai more in the forefront.
I think Yoko is doing great things for Muay Thai. The Yoko brand is a huge brand, and I suppose that's another question of how it's got there. But for Muay Thai, as it is, it's doing a lot, especially in the UK. I mean, people want to go to the York House show,
yeah,
because it's such a huge, spectacular stage. People don't particularly want to go to minors welfare clubs anymore to watch Muay Thai. I mean, when I started, people were smoking in the minors welfare bar. Now, when you go to the York House show, you get maybe 2,500 people there. The pay for fighters is better, the pay for officials is better, the setup's better, the standard of fighting's better, the production's better, and there's more people involved with the sport. I don't think we're attracting people who are non-Muay Thai fans any more than we were before. I just think there's a bigger circle of the Muay Thai community is growing, whether that's an add-on from UFC or whether it's just becoming a more popular sport, because it is becoming more mainstream, but I wouldn't really say it's mainstream yet. I think it's still a niche sport, yeah, to a certain extent. There is people who will never like combat sports. It's just seen as something that's not done.
Yeah.
Because it is considered violence and aggression. Even though it's got huge benefits to the people who are taking part in it. But with that, it's always going to be a sort of a niche sport, but it's becoming definitely more popular. There's more people involved, there's probably more money getting put into the sport, and I think it's attracting more people now than it did before.
Yeah,
there wasn't much knowledge. Information can be shared, and especially as you're saying with social media. Social media is just sharing that information massively, so it can reach more people. The more people you can reach, the more people you can influence. The more people you can influence, you can get them actually involved in the sport. Get them involved in the sport by whatever means they want to. You get some guys who have been involved in the sport for 10 years. They like training. No intention of fighting. Mm-hmm. No intention at all. Like going to shows. Like having a few beers. Fine. Not a problem. Generally, when you've got a gym, maybe 10%, 15% of your guys in the gym will fight, and the rest will just be there just to train. And I think it's always going to be that way. There's some gyms who will become bigger and more popular based on the fact they've got better fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Thailand, you'll get gyms that will attract more foreigners because of the big Thai names that they have training and fighting at the gym. In the UK, you've got certain gyms that get better numbers because of the, I don't think it's just simply because of the quality of the fighters they've got, it's because of things like, even the facilities isn't a major draw for people when it comes to Muay Thai. I think it's something, it needs to be a clean gym, but it's really the quality of the training,
yeah,
and the environment people get to train in. You get certain gyms where people just go and get beat up every week, nobody goes back. You get certain gyms that nurture people and bring them on, and it's a good sort of friendly and jovial atmosphere, then people will go back and they will keep training. Then there is quite a mix of that throughout Scotland and the UK. You've got certain gyms that are just really weird to a certain extent.
Peter tricks you with the jovial, happy-go-lucky guy to start with, and then as soon as you hand him 30 quid, he starts fucking battering you around the head.
No, that's not
true. Putting videos of you on Instagram of him throwing you about.
No, that's not true, mate. That made me sound like a bad guy.
Total denial from Pete Scott.
No, not at all. I think it's a good, you've got off in your training.
Yeah,
you?
Definitely. You've got to enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, you're doing it for exercise. You're doing it to stay fit, or you're doing it for fighting, or you're doing it for both. You know, I suppose you can't really fight if you're not being fit in that sort of way. But you need to do it to enjoy it, because it's a hobby. At the end of the day, regardless of whether you're a fighter, who's doing it as well as a job, it's still a hobby. It's never going to pay the 50 to 100 grand that the UFC guys are getting. It's always going to be a little bit small, a little bit less than the mainstream. The top maybe 1% of the Muay Thai community can make enough to live on it.
Mm-hmm.
If they get in the right big shows, like One Super Series is paying really well. Glory, but again, that's sort of more K1 style or kickboxing style. Bellator doing kickboxing as well now. I think One are probably the biggest. Yoko paid pretty well for the top 1% guys that are there. But again, most of them will need to do personal training or do some sort of job on the side to make things work. But it is getting bigger. I think if you're talking within Scotland, I think it could be a lot bigger in Scotland. And I think social media could play a huge part in that to reach more people. The Evolution show at the start of the year is probably the best production I have ever seen in Scotland.
One just passed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look class.
It was a great show to be part of. The production, the setup,
even like the posters, like little things like that, was amazing.
It was awesome. Never been done before in Scotland. The quality was great. Unfortunately, the promoter of the show tried to angle it at non-Muay Thai fans.
Okay.
And that's a great move. It's a very bold move, but it didn't really pay off. He only sold about 50 tickets to non-Thai Muay Thai fans. And unfortunately, he didn't try to match fighters who can sell tickets. That's, again, another topic to go into, probably. He didn't match people who could sell tickets. He just wanted to make a really good show. And he made a very good show, but there was only about 250, 300 people there. His next show, which he's going to do, which I'm hoping to be refereeing on as well, because I can't wait to see this. If he matches it the way the other shows are doing, like the Blitz, the Beach Ballroom, all these sort of shows are selling really good ticket sales. If he can match it with that, it'll be one of the biggest shows in Scotland, which will be a show that everybody in Scotland wants to go into. Then hopefully we'll finally get a Scottish title that is worth anything, because there hasn't been a Scottish title that's worth anything for quite some time. The STBA titles and UKMF titles are not too bad, but the STB, when I started, the STB title was the only title in Scotland, and that was a title that everybody wanted to have that. And you only got to fight for it if you're in the top 3 or 4 in Scotland. You had to have a good run at it if you were number 4. Whereas now you've got guys who have had 3 fights, coming off 2 losses, fighting for a STB title or a WKA title, or what is it one I heard about recently? Or bloody WBC Press, is it WBC International Challenge titles or Challenge titles? It's a bullshit title. Mean anything.
Yeah, I think you've just said, I think the rankings is a good thing, is it? You know, like, even you know, you've got like Lee Madison fighting Charlie Peters for the number one spot, no belts, just for the number one spot.
Yeah,
you know, showing that the rankings obviously a good thing.
I mean, that's a really important thing. Number one fight number two has to happen.
Mm.
If number one doesn't defend against number two. Now, in the UK, the UK rankings, if number one refuses 2 fight offers from number one refuses 2 fight offers from number two, then number two automatically gets put to number one.
Is that a thing? Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's so good. You can't dodge number two. You can't go, I'm too good for it. And that is what should be happening in Scotland as well. If somebody submits evidence to me that the person has rejected 2 plausible fight offers for them and they're number two and that person number one, I'll go number one and say, why have you not accepted either of these?
If I don't get a good response from them, then I'll move them, I'll change them. One will become two, two will become one.
And then that might win them, make them want to fight them then.
Yeah. And they should. Number one should always defend number two. Because number what, two always wants to be number one. Should always be a case of allowing that person to get that shot.
Yeah, it should be that. Like, you would think your champion should always be one or two, really, should it?
Yeah.
Like guys that are number seven, the rankings and their champions and all that.
Rather than having number one fighting fucking Lewis, fucking whoever from Portugal, or whoever from, I don't know, France, who you've never even heard of, or Italy, who you've never even heard of, are fighting the champion from Italy. I mean, you actually do a little bit of a Google search and realise that this guy from Italy is not actually number one, he's like number 12. Then you realise he's not the champion, just some bum from over in Europe. And there's so many. I've never heard of so many Portuguese champions in my life over the past 4 or 5 years. This guy's a champion, this guy's a champion, he's coming over, and he comes over and he basically falls in the first round. You realise he's had about 4 kickboxing fights.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I've got 2 more questions. One is one that I don't ask everyone, and one that I do. We talked about Yoko, and just whenever I speak, I've been spoken to you about this before, that one of the things I noticed with people when they first start Muay Thai, and I noticed it when I first started as well, is that people, when they start training, don't always know what they're trying to do. So you've got a beginner's class to do Muay Thai, and you've never seen Muay Thai before, you've watched MMA, and you don't want to do Jiu-Jitsu, because you don't want, like, the idea of doing the groundwork, so you go to a Muay Thai class. So I think, like, one championship, which is kind of like following that UFC model, but is bringing in kickboxing and Muay Thai, could potentially be something that will elevate that, and that people will start seeing Muay Thai before they necessarily come into training. Just wondering what you thought about that, whether that's a factor, whether people need to see it before they come in.
I see you again, but getting at that, I think UFC is popular because of how much money Dana White's put into it. Yeah, ONE FC are putting a lot of money into it, and it is growing the sport. More people having access to it. But what UFC also do is raise the persona of their fighters. They sell the personality of their fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Like Conor McGregor, he was sold purely on his personality.
Yeah.
It's also his fighting skills as well, but he was sold on his personality to the general public, which made them more interested. Like there's people who've never watched boxing in their lives who paid for pay-per-view for McGregor versus Mayweather. You wouldn't get that with Muay Thai right now. I think ONE FC have a good opportunity to try to grow the sport, but they're going to need to, I don't even know if it would solve the problem and make it bigger, but you need to get more personalities within the sport. But with Muay Thai, you're only going to get somebody being number one for so long.
Yeah.
And then they go, and then somebody else comes in. They're always going to get somebody younger, hungrier, better, faster, quicker, to come and replace them. If you can sell that person to the public and make that more make them more popular, yeah, you'll have your new superstar. But you need to get more people invested in the sport. With UFC, there's still people who watch the UFC, who don't like fighting, you know, just don't like it, or never do it, never want to be involved with it. But they watch the UFC simply because of the spectacle that it is. It's almost getting toward WWE, but it's more real than WWE. It's got the pizzazz and the lights and the personalities and all that sort of stuff, and it's got the sponsorship backing as well. ONE FC have Fairtex sponsorship backing, but you need to be more accepted by the general public. I don't think it is, because there is still that confusion about exactly what it is. UFC, I don't think anybody really knows. Well, sorry, UFC, I don't think the majority of the general fans understand the intricacies of the scoring.
Okay.
They just want to see a fight,
yeah,
getting their heads punched in. Why they don't want to see Muay Thai, I'm not 100% sure. I think it's just maybe something that isn't as popular as UFC just now, maybe it will be in the future.
Have you heard the Joe Rogan clip? I think it's Liam Harrison, he's on with it. He's just like, it's just the music, just get rid of the music, stop with too many fucking breaks, just get rid of all that. Just like, I think maybe like there's more to it than
what's that on?
It's on the Joe Rogan podcast. Just
do you mean the Muay Thai Rambo?
Yeah.
Liam's one of his stuff.
No, Joe Rogan says like, they're talking about why Muay Thai is popular than me, and Joe Rogan just pretty much says it's just because of the music.
It's a weird one, is it? How it's never really got big. Because the amount of people you speak to who, like you say, UFC's got such a big following, and a lot of people say, oh yeah, but I love watching it, but I don't like watching it when they're cuddling on the ground or doing any of that shit, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people say that, and then you're like, well, why do you not watch Muay Thai?
Maybe it is the music. when you're watching it, the music doesn't really appeal to anybody.
But see, after, I presume you're the same, see, after being involved in Muay Thai for so long and watching it all the time, you know, I find when you watch, like, unless you've got the commentary on, when you watch a fight without commentary and without the Thai music, it sounds fucking quiet as anything.
Oh, yeah.
And then you hear the kick, every kick sounds like bang, does it?
Aye.
You hear it more.
It's when you watch Glory and it's not a very busy arena, and again, all you hear is a low kick, punch. Wow.
Yeah, I just think it's really weird now without the, unless you're watching a fight that's got live commentary on it, mm-hmm. and that's good, or you're watching the fights with the Thai music, but then they've still got the, if it's in Thailand, for example, and you've got the Thai speaking Thai commentating.
But then the UFC, people are going wild, you can barely even hear thing because the commentators...
Yeah, but then you've always got the commentators, have you? The commentators,
yeah, you've got the commentators and people shouting really loudly. But I think the Muay Thai music kind of puts people off because the general fans who I've brought along to my fights have got that music just must go through your head. I'm like, I don't even hear it anymore. I don't know. I think probably music puts people off. I'm not sure you could replace it with like fucking Mambo Number 5 or something.
That's the thing, is if you know, if you're getting, like you touched on earlier, you know, people who are really good at Muay Thai will eventually fight in Thailand or fight on big shows, which of course will use Thai music. So then if they're coming back to then fighting on shows, like, no, we're not going to use that music, they'll be thinking, what, this is weird, fighting without the music.
I think one thing that's improved the shows is that we don't generally we'll have C class fighters doing Ran Mois anymore, like, which is the ritual dance at the start. We'll let B class fighters seal the ring, doing the Y crew, but the Ran Mois only for A class.
Yeah.
Because really, C class and B class is a bastardization of Muay Thai, it's not actually Muay Thai.
Yeah.
A class is Muay Thai, so they should go out through the full thing.
Yeah.
Plus, nobody wants to sit through some C-class fighter doing their first Muay Thai fight and they do a 10-minute Ran Mois going round the ring, doing it really badly, doing a really crap one. They touch the gloves, they come out with their first fight and they get sparked out in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like, that's it through 12 minutes just for that. You've missed out the dance. So I think that appeals to people more, is that you can get more fights done in a shorter space of time, get more excitement and more build up. I do kind of feel sorry though for a lot of the younger fighters these days with Muay Thai, is they want to be fighters. They want to, you know, have everybody look at them as being great, but there's a lot of build up for a fight now. Whereas back when I started, I remember going to Thailand in 2008 and I had 4 fights in 7 weeks just because I wanted to keep fighting. I just love to fight. Whereas now you get guys who are wanting a physio, strength and conditioning coach, yoga person, they want a masseur, they want a Thai boxing person, a boxing coach, all this sort of stuff, and a nutritionist. A reflexologist and all that sort of stuff just to get a fight.
Yeah.
Fucking just go in a fight. Just train as hard as you can for 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Do it smart. Get the training you need. Don't post every picture of every bloody person that helps you train for that fight, and just get it done and have a fight, then have another fight, then have another fight, then have another fight, and learn from that. I mean, there is a good element of social media now that you have to do that sort of stuff if you want to grow your name. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to selling tickets, it's still the same bag. It's still the same people who come to your fights. You go, I've got a fight coming up in 2 months' time. Make sure you get that weekend off. If you said you come to the last fight, please come to this one, blah, blah, blah. And you'll get about 100 people going, I'll definitely come. As it gets close to the fight, that number drops from about 100 who'll definitely come to maybe 10 who'll definitely come to maybe probably 5 who'll buy tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And that number always drops massively down, which is why the Blackpool Rebellion show, which is a great show, great production, great fights,
yeah, was like, didn't
sell a lot of tickets, but because they relied on people selling tickets, and you can never rely on fighters selling tickets. And if people were ultimately interested in Muay Thai, they've got a friend who's going to fight in a Muay Thai fight. Do I pay £35 for that and have some good fights on a fight card and, you know, have a good few drinks and enjoy myself? Or do I spend £100 on a bag of Coke? I'll spend £100 on a bag of Coke. So you can't gauge people sometimes, you know. You can sell a product to them, but sometimes they'll choose what they want to choose.
Yeah.
And I think regardless of how much you try and market Muay Thai, it will only get to a certain number of people. And at a national level, you've got people who will keep kind of try to sell tickets, but I don't think the numbers will grow massively. I think it might get bigger by 10, 15, but you've got people who will drift into the sport, people who will drift out at the same time. The people you see in the gym this year will not be the same next year. You'll probably get the same 20-30%, but it'll be the other 70, they won't change. They won't go out.
What's that?
Do you find that as well? Like in gyms, that people, there's always a lot of people drifting in and out.
Oh yeah, definitely. People come and go all the time. That's the same as any. You kind of do like. Yeah, definitely.
Is that because you battered them? Put them off.
Maybe if my shit.
Size them. Who's gonna get a batter?
You just come in and don't like me and don't come back, right? Nah, definitely. I don't know. I think it's the same as anything you do. Some people come in, and even through the years that people who have trained with Stevie have been there more than me, like, but people who've been involved in sport who are actually really good, and you think they're fucking ace, and then they'll stop training for whatever reason. You know, some people might just get bored of it. Some people might love fighting but hate the dieting. Some people might just have, like, me and Stevie both have kids now, that kind of changes your mentality of fighting. So if all that stuff happens to every person, then they're not going to be able to dedicate as much time to going in and training.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you do just train once or twice a week, like this happens a lot of times, you'll see people like yourself, and if you're in the gym all the time and you're getting so much better now, there'll be people maybe start at the same time as you, just plod along and go to 2 classes a week. And then they'll maybe go and start training with you and realise that you bar them now. And then they'll maybe think, oh fuck, this is a waste of time. And they'll stop going.
Yeah. Or they'll just simply realise that it's not as important to you. If somebody who wants to fight, that the Muay Thai training and being in a gym will be more important to them than somebody who's not really that concerned with it. It's just something they do extra to keep themselves a little bit fitter. They'll go and find something else. They'll go and do something else. And if it's not that important to them, then fair play, so they can just go and do it. Muay Thai is not everybody's bag. I don't think it ever will be. We're just hoping to grow the numbers of it. But you'll get people who drift in and out because life gets in the way. Things get in the way. Wives, girlfriends, kids, jobs, work commitments, injuries, other hobbies, prison sentences.
These just some of yours too.
These are all these sort of things get in the way of people going to the gym and becoming fighters. And there's people who sometimes go to the gym and just never ever want to be a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's gonna happen. People just want to be involved with the sport, some more than others.
In that positive vein, last question would be, what would you say Muay Thai has done for you in terms of like well-being and just what it's given you throughout the 15 years you've been involved?
Yeah, I think so.
And then why would you recommend it to someone who's maybe considering starting out, and what would you think the benefits would be for them?
I think you should just go run down of where highlight reel your last 15 years, Steve, where you've been and went first. That'll give people a good enough reason to get involved in.
If I had to sell it, it'd be basically what Muay Thai has done for me is it's made me millions of pounds.
everyone in the UK love you.
Hi. I've met some really great people from Muay Thai who I would never have met other than doing Muay Thai. I've met some fucking arseholes as well, but majority have been.
I was one of the first ones, you were the second.
The majority have been really good people. I've also managed to fight in 8 different countries on 3 different continents. I've been all over the place for fighting. And get some great memories and great experiences from that, and it opens so many doors to different things. And I think from a sort of discipline and
sort of around, Steve, where's your? I was wanting you. I thought you'd maybe speak a bit about you were saying your experience in Thailand. Where's some of your best fights? When we spoke about it a lot of times over some drunken nights in Thailand and that. And like you fought in, you know, you're one of a few people fighting like the Thai prison. You fought in Chalasani Stadium in Pini Ratchadam there.
Yeah, I think the most memorable fight I have was the fight in the Bangkok prison. When we're getting asked about 5 days before a fight, before the fight, do you want to fight in a prison? And I was like, what? Yeah, there's a prison show coming up in 5 days' time. Do you want to fight against an inmate? And I was like, yeah, fuck it, why not? Let's do that, that sounds alright. So, end up training for a couple of days for that. Plus, one of my mates, Chris Shaw, decided to take me in the piss 3 days before the fight, which didn't go down well. Came to the fight, fought the Thai guy, he was an inmate, he was in, seemingly for, one guy said he was in for double murder, one guy said he was in for running a meth cartel. But he was in for 25 years.
So he'd done something.
he'd done something nasty, yeah. Fought them in the prison. So that was quite a surreal experience, going to a Thai prison.
Yeah.
And fighting in the prison. That was quite weird, but quite cool at the same time. Didn't really think much of it at the time, but looking back, I was like, that's pretty cool. Probably my best moment was fighting on Channel 7 in Bangkok. I fought Lumpini, fought Raja Daman, and fought in Channel 7. I'm the only Scottish fighter to ever fight on. I think I'm the only British fighter.
That's right, I thought you were. You're
the only British fighter to ever fight in Channel 7. So that was quite a good honour to get, because I'd won at Lumpini, and I won at Channel 7, and that was great. It was quite a strange day. So over here, you win the day before and you fight about 24 to 30 hours later. Over there at Channel 7, you basically weigh in at the TV studios at 7 a.m. or was it 6 a.m? I think it was 6 a.m. and you fight between 1 and 3 in the afternoon. So you've not really got much time to recover. So I travelled from Fairtex about 4 a.m. that morning in a taxi from the south of Bangkok to the north of Bangkok. Weighed in and I was 0.3 over, so just slightly over a pound over, and I had to lose the weight. Now, I was sure because I left the gym and I was bang on, and I got there and I was 0.3 over. So
was that at the actual weigh-in or just before the weigh-in? Did you get to check before the actual weigh-in?
I checked myself before the weigh-in and I was bang on at the gym scales. When I got there, their scales said I was 0.3 over.
Yeah, but I mean, did you get to check? Was that the official weigh-in?
That was the official weigh-in. 0.3 over. So they said, right, you need to go and run. So I had no trainers with me, I had flip flops, I had no jacket with me. So I had to borrow my trainer's shell suit jacket and size 7 trainers I'm a size 10 and a half. So I was running up and down the street. I'm getting blood blisters on my big toes from it.
The day of the fight.
Aye. It was like 6:15 in the morning. So I was running up and down, managed to lose the weight, and weighed in. I was fine. So then I went to what is considered a short.
Did you get the guy's trainers off?
So I went to what's considered a short time hotel, which is basically mirrors on the ceiling, mirrors on the walls.
You stayed with them on Belmont Street, I think. You would know.
Is that where you took me the first night we met?
So, went there, had some food, had some juice, went to sleep, woke up, back up about 11, had some more food, more juice, water, went to sleep, woke back up the back of 12, made my way to the stadium, which was just around the corner. Started getting warmed up, and there's just wooden benches all the way outside, hundreds of gamblers all standing outside, all smoking tabs, coming up to you, feeling your arms, feeling your legs, speaking to your trainer, asking if you've been training hard, you know, is going to win, all that sort of stuff, want to bet on you. Then basically rubbed down the tile oil on a wooden bench, get put in these 6 ounce windy gloves that were battered to fuck, so they were tiny. And then went into the stadium, which was just like walking into the Thunderdome. It was quite small inside, but it was just so tiered. Mm-hmm. It was just tight in. There's hundreds and hundreds of people in there, and sitting in the corner of the ring, watching the TV on the right hand side, looking at the sitcom that was on before the fight show came on. So you'd know exactly where you're gonna come on, because the adverts came on. You're on next.
Yeah.
I fought an Italian guy from the promoter of the show. Was it promoter of the show? No. It was one of the promoters of the show's gym. And it was after round two. I was 2-1 to win. I was 2-1 to win before the fight, and then 2-1 to win after the second round. The third and the fourth, he managed to clinch me some annoying way, and I just couldn't work out how to get out of it. So by the end of the fourth, I was actually 50-1 behind to win the fight. So if you put 1,000 baht on me, you'd get 50,000 baht back.
Yeah.
And end up winning the fight.
That's crazy, like, to go in the fifth at 50-1.
Aye.
Did anyone put money on you at 51?
I think quite a few of the guys came up and jumped up and hugged me afterwards. They must have put money on me. So I had the last round and won the last round. Did some press ups in the ring. And won the fight.
You never gave him an 8 counter in the fifth, did you?
Sorry?
You didn't give him an 8 counter in the fifth round, did you?
No, just kicked him about.
And you must have really barred him if it was the fifth one.
I don't think he scored well at all in the fifth. So won the fight and came out afterwards, and half the guys were sort of going, like, throwing bits of paper at me because they'd lost money. And half were jumping and giving me hugs and stuff. amazing. And then when I was outside, got the gloves taken off me, managed to keep the shorts, which were actually extra, extra, extra large. So they were huge.
That's about your size.
17 times to make them fit. And I was like, where's the showers? Just go behind that bus, we've got a big hose. So I had some guy holding a hose, just directed on me, with this Vaseline and tile taken off.
And didn't you have showers at Channel 7?
No. They had a mobile bus.
They must have now, surely.
They had a mobile bus. No, they had a mobile bus that was a toilet.
Really? That's probably the most viewed thing in Thailand, isn't it? Right.
So did that, and then put my gear and my trainers and stuff back on, and went back to the gym. And everybody was over the moon. That won, because it was the first fair test fighter to ever fight on Channel 7, and I won.
What, even Thais?
Yep, even Thais.
Wow.
So I was quite happy with that. But the TV station paid me half my purse that day, and then said, come back a week later and get your second half of your purse. He's not going to come back, or hopefully he's going to go back to his country.
Did you go back?
Yeah.
Did you go back?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, that's good.
What
did they pay you?
25,000 baht.
Yeah.
Not a heck of a lot.
Would that be in UK money now?
Back then it would have been much better than it is now anyway.
How much should it be in UK?
25,000. What year was it you fought there?
2009.
probably still about 60 baht or something now, is it? Yeah. 60 baht to the pound.
So what's that? So
25,000 more, if it was 50 baht, it would have been 500 quid, so. Is that right? Yeah. £700, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. So it was okay, you know.
Yeah.
And then did that and then came home. They wanted me to fight again a few weeks later, but I'd booked to come back to the UK, so I wasn't chasing that. So that was my most proud sort of moment.
Must not have been too long after that they actually stopped Foreigners Fighting on Channel 7, was it?
I was the last foreign fighter to fight.
Really?
No, sorry. And there was one guy after me.
Oh.
I think there was one or two guys after me. They stopped.
Probably all that gamblers were throwing paper at you. Probably. You can stop getting all these guys fighting.
Ticket sales went down after that.
Yeah. So, for me, Muay Thai has a lot of positive effects. It gave me a good focus. And I find when I don't exercise for a while, I start to get a bit irritable. CrossFit, I love doing CrossFit as well. But I'll never miss hitting pads. There's times that I've just walked away from Muay Thai for like a year and not fought. And
you really said it wrong, you'll never miss hitting pads.
You'll never not miss hitting pads.
Never not miss hitting pads, I'll never not miss hitting pads, but there's times where I've basically...
I thought I was being a spaz here, I was
thinking. I didn't know what I was for a second.
I thought I heard it.
But there's times I was thinking, I walked away from it every so often. You do need a break, you can't just continually do it for 20, 30 years or 10, 15 years, just continuous. So there's times I've just walked away and given it a bit of a miss for a while, then come back and found that love for it again. And I still enjoy doing CrossFit and that sort of stuff as well. I do indoor climbing sometimes, I've done it for a while. Work, family takes priority sometimes. But I still enjoy the Muay Thai. I still like being involved with it. It's given me that focus, and it stops me from. I'm better when I train. When I train Muay Thai, I'm a bit better as a person. I think my wife would tell me. And I think for people who are doing Muay Thai, it does give you something. It gets rid of the endorphins. It gets rid of a lot of the stress. Life will bring you. I've been really stressed with quite bad anxiety a couple of times when I haven't been training. I don't know if I would label myself as clinically depressed, but I was feeling quite low at some points when I wasn't doing Muay Thai, and then when I've come back to do it, I've felt a lot better. I felt more like I'm sort of home to a certain extent doing it. So I think I'll always be involved in the sport, which will probably piss a few people off, but the thing is, I don't want Muay Thai to go back to how it used to be. I don't want it to stay as it is. I'm always going to try and make it better and improve it, not for myself, for the sake of the sport, because I see the potential of a lot of the young guys coming through, and how good they could be, and how Scotland has got a lot of potential with our fighters. They just need to promote it. They need the fighters to get paid the money they deserve, and push the sport forward. However that may be, I think there's a couple of things come up in the pipeline. We need the old people who have done whatever they've done in the past. Very good, that's great. You've got no new ideas. You don't know how to take the sport forward. Move aside and let the younger people come through. They're a bit scared, I think, to let go of the reins a little bit. They need to start to take a step back and say, right, you guys push it forward however you will, and see what we can do with the sport. All we can do is try, all we can do is make it better. Whether taking it mainstream will make it better, or whether just continuing as we are and making the fighters better, making understanding and knowledge of sport. I think more people get the knowledge of it, the more accepted it will be over the whole country and all the people, and see if we can increase its popularity that way. I think social media's got a huge part to play with it. and getting the videos and knowledge out there. How exactly, I'm not too sure right now. But from a mental aspect, combat sports, not being punched in the face, but being involved in hitting pads and getting that release of endorphins, and getting the stresses out that daily life will throw at you, is something that is really valuable and that Muay Thai can provide. One thing that people say jiu-jitsu does that for them, and if it does, that's great. Some people say tennis does it for them.
Yeah.
Whatever does it for you, great. But I think Muay Thai is something that should be explored when it comes to things like stress and anxiety. Because for me, it's definitely helped me with that. The times when I've not been doing Muay Thai, I have found the stress affects me a lot more, and I have found the anxiety affects me a lot more. And the times when I'm actually getting involved with it, I never really found fighting stressful. Never really found it something that was a problem. It just felt quite normal for me. I just quite enjoyed it. Enjoyed effective violence. It was quite good. The times I'm away from it, I do miss it. I do miss that sort of stress reliever, and that's what you use for stress. It's whatever you can find to relieve your stress, because everybody gets stressed.
Yeah.
It's just how you then deal with that stress, and whatever you can do to deal with that stress is do it and do it again and do it again, and then find different avenues from that. Some people use rugby, some people use football, whatever. Whatever you do, do it, and just keep doing it. So you can do it.
Perfect. So. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Peter, for having us up.
No worries. Thank you.
Cheers.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. I thought it was great. I really hope they get Stevie back on and maybe even have Pete sit back in again. I thought it was a really good dynamic, and really enjoyed just sitting chatting to the two of them, and there was plenty more we could have talked about. In fact, I think the first thing that was said after, I sat there the whole time during this recording, and by the time we'd finished, I was absolutely dying for a piss. I think that's why I tried to cut the conversation off. I think at one point I tried to end the podcast, and Pete then asks Stevie a couple of questions, and I was absolutely mad bursting for a piss. I'm not gonna lie. I had to run off upstairs as soon as the record button was hit to turn it off. But yeah, the first thing that was said when I returned was that Stevie had forgotten to mention a couple of things, so there's plenty of scope for more conversations. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast, and hopefully we'll get another one done in the future. If not, there should be plenty more Muay Thai ones to come, I'm sure, as I meet more people through my travels and through my training, and hopefully fighting soon. And there's plenty of Muay Thai ones previously. If this is your first one that you've listened to, you want to hear more about the sport, or if you're a fan of the sport but this is the first one you've come across, who have I talked to? Rich Cadden, Liam Harrison, Pete Scott, of course, who was on this one himself. Is that my microwave? It is. Okay, the microwave stopped. What was I saying? Muay Thai people. Shane O'Neill, Spencer Brown. There's been a fair few Muay Thai people on. Ross Houston, MMA fighter. Paul McBain, MMA fighter. So loads of combat sports ones there for you if you want to listen to them. And that's all I've got to say. If this is your first podcast as well, please come and check me out on social media. Instagram, it's MoodSwingsAbs. MoodSwingsABZ. Just all one word. 365 Aberdeen on Facebook and Twitter. But Instagram's probably the main place to get all the stuff. Okay, thank you for listening. I used to have a load of t-shirts printed. I still got a couple left. You can get them at 365aberdeen.bigcartel.com. But please let me know whether I should get more printed of this, if people are after them, and I can easily get that sorted out. Either with the current design, just get more of those printed if people want that, or I can maybe even get a new design, who knows. But give me a shout. Okay, cheers. Bye.